I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, also known as the Spiritual Midwife, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a midwife and a childbirth educator, and I assist women in optimizing their chances of having an empowering and natural birth experience and a nourishing and healing postpartum. I offer holistic birth preparation and postpartum online courses worldwide for the conscious mama wanting to prepare emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually for her birth and for her postpartum. And if you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com. If you had a natural and empowering birth experience that you would like to share with the world, then you can email me at annathespiritualmidwife@gmail.com, and maybe your story will be featured on the Natural Birth Podcast. Now let's dive into today's episode. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Gemma. Gemma is a mother of two living in Mullumbimby, New South Wales, Australia. She is an inspired teacher and singer and dancer and poet. She is passionate about holding space for women to find their voice and express their unique essence through sound, storytelling, and movement. In this episode today, we will hear about her two natural birth stories, one in the hospital and one at a birth center. And her second birth was a real spiritual initiation and a wild experience, including a tree activation and the fastest birth process I've ever heard of. Curious about Gemma? Find her on Facebook as Gemma Sylvanspring. Hello, Gemma, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you today?
I'm really good, thanks.
I'm so excited.
Lovely to be here today.
Lovely that you feel that. I feel very excited to have you here today.
Thank you.
I can't wait to hear about your two natural birth stories. I'm sure you're going to bring us so much wisdom through your experience. So let's dive into the first one. Share with us how long time ago that was and what was the signs of early labor for you?
So Mirabai's birth was 5 years ago, actually on the 28th of March, she was five. So it's a bit of time ago, but it was, yeah, the first kind of signs that I had that she was on her way. I just felt, I felt her really drop down really low, and I found myself doing lots and lots and lots of circling of my hips. I just really had this feeling that that was going to really help, and it just, my body was just doing that naturally. I was also feeling to, you know, go for walks. So I remember going to Brunswick Heads, and my mum was actually my midwife alongside the other community midwives, but she had a lot of amazing wisdom. She used to be a home birth midwife many years ago. And so she was very encouraging at that time. And so we went on some beautiful big walks at Brunswick Heads, and the faster that I would walk, the stronger the feelings, you know, that they were coming. So that was kind of in the first few days before I went into labor. So I felt this like really strong rush go through my whole body, especially as I sped up walking. That was a really interesting situation.
What was the rush?
Oh, just a feeling of like clamping or some kind of like contraction right down low. So I guess it was like a Braxton Hicks, but it was starting to kind of amplify as time went on. And especially when I'd speed up the walk, it would kind of all build up. And it was quite a rush to feel this sensation. And it was giving me this kind of insight into what it was going to be like. It was quite exciting as well because it's the first time.
Yeah. Beautiful. And then what happened?
Well, a couple of days after some of those like stronger rushes, my waters broke at home. And it was quite a big process where it was just kind of flooding. It felt like it was flooding the house, but it was just this huge time and I was quite emotional. And my mom and Shane, my husband, and I were, we'd have a couple of days. She decided to stay for that week that everything was starting to amp up. And we'd been, you know, sitting there watching Flight of the Conchords, which is a really funny program. And so the laughter, there's a lot of laughter. And it, you know, that laughter really helped in the initial stages after my waters had broken. You know, we'd watched that a couple of times beforehand. And I think it was just my body was going into a time of like relaxing and just opening. So I think that all of that laughter and just kind of being there together kind of led to that situation where my waters broke.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
However, it was just like, that's right, a day before that, there was just like this little bit of a kind of dribble or something, and I didn't know that that was actually my waters breaking.
Right.
So I actually had to go to Tweed Heads Hospital and find out whether it was amniotic fluid or not. So it didn't fully break, you know, until a little bit later on.
Right. So by then you were then kind of already 24 hours in as it fully kind of flooded your floor.
Yes, that aspect is, I've merged it a little bit with the second birth just right then. Yes, that can happen over time. It was all a bit of a blur. But yes, that was actually a pivotal point actually to talk about in the birth because it was a time of empowerment to actually talk about my rights. So I was told that I needed to go to the hospital and just check. And, you know, I was 2 days, I think, over my due date at that point. So I needed to go up to the hospital and the doctor that was there was actually saying, okay, you need to be induced now.
Right.
And right here now.
Right.
And, I was actually in a bit of shock, but my first reaction, thankfully, in that moment, was just to say, that actually sounds like a decision, not a recommendation. That's your decision, but that's not my decision. And I was very, very clear about the fact that I wasn't going to go ahead with that. And I said, no, that's, you know, that's a recommendation and I'm not taking that. I'm not ready and I'm not here to have my baby right now. And my mum, being a midwife and really rallying for more natural birth, was very proud of me in that moment, but also a little bit like, wow. And my husband was just like a bit stunned, just sitting there going, oh, okay.
I love
And we that. Just got up and left, and that was that. And then it kind of proceeded into just more and more sensations. But now, because of that situation at the hospital, I was then on the clock.
Right.
And the clock had started ticking, you know, to have the baby, which then put a fair bit of pressure. I was very frightened about being induced and not having my home birth that I'd been dreaming about all that time, and full of uncertainty. And at the same time, I had quite an amazing moment that's very, very vivid in my mind even now. And I was looking at the clock and I was deliberating about everything and talking about it a lot to my mom and to Shane. And then I had one moment at about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I went into the bathroom and I lit a candle. And I looked at myself in the mirror and I was circling my hips and I was just, I'd been up and down all night. And I was just watching myself in the mirror and looking really deeply into my eyes. And I even feel like crying now. It was a really precious moment, really, really powerful. And I saw myself so powerful and bright in that moment. And suddenly all of these fears just started melting away. And I was looking at myself and I said, I call on my angels. I'm calling on Shane's angels, guardians, please be with us. I'm calling on Mirabai's, this beautiful baby's angels. I really need you all now. I really want to have a natural birth. Even if it means going to a hospital, this is really, really what my body wants and my heart wants. And I'm calling you all now to be with me, and I'm going to trust that if I do end up there, whatever happens, I'm going to trust that this is part of my story. And in that moment of saying that word trust, and then I also said, I'm going to try and surrender. But I didn't even have to say the word surrender. I just felt something drop and something soften and some power, even more power, fill my face. And I actually felt this kind of golden glow. And it was quite a powerful experience. And then an hour later, I went into natural labor.
Wow.
After that.
And how many days or hours after the waters breaking was that moment?
What I do know is that I had 2 hours left before I was going to be called and properly induced.
So 70 hours.
So it was right there in that pivotal time where my body just said, okay, you're ready. You're not going to get induced. And so then the midwife in the community group came over. And funnily enough, there was a cow giving birth and it was raining and the cow was beside our house giving birth.
Oh, that's amazing.
And she was mentioning that and chuckling and I was saying, oh, can I have the baby right now? And she said, oh, I've sent all of your notes to the hospital and I'm really sorry. And she was in tears. She was really feeling me in the journey the whole way through. And I had actually already surrendered at that point and I was just in a very ethereal time of the very beginnings, but I could really feel. She had gave me a little examination and she said, oh, you're at least 5 centimeters or something dilated, so it's time to... You know, when you're ready to go to Tweed Heads.
Go to the hospital.
Yeah, to the hospital, yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, so yeah, at 70 hours after the breaking of your waters, you are now heading to the hospital in the car. Mm-hmm. How was that? And how many, did you have contractions at this point? How far apart were they at that point?
Yeah, so I had some pretty strong rushes or contractions, the whole way up in the car, and from memory they were fairly close together, but I was definitely in the early stages of labor, and that was already confirmed, so I was, to be honest, it's actually a bit of a blur, because I knew that I was in the car, but I was in quite a different realm, and I wasn't very fazed about what was going on. I wasn't feeling flustered, or I was just kind of, it was just about the baby and me from memory.
Beautiful.
I didn't actually really notice that much about, you know, driving there.
Yeah, you were focusing
on... It's just kind of part of it, but I was feeling some, like, pretty deep, strong sensations in my body. Yeah.
All right, so you arrive at the hospital. What then?
So, so we got up to the birthing suite, and at that point I was starting to do some kind of horse breath. So I was literally going like, and I was taking really deep breaths in, and then it was just this hoarse sound, and my mum kind of thought it was quite entertaining, like she was enjoying the fact that I was so into this, but it was just something that I felt really strongly to just do that. That was my natural way.
Yeah.
So it would have sounded, she said, oh, I can't remember something about the horse is here or like something funny that we were laughing about.
And is that something that just came to you naturally, or had you heard about that? Had you practiced it?
I'd done some yoga, some special pregnancy yoga classes with a lovely lady in Mullumbimby, and she did actually mention this horse breath, and it must have just been a seed that was planted because I didn't think when I go into labor, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I just did it once. Obviously, it was in my psyche deep down there, seated. And then I just started doing it and it felt so good.
Right.
And actually what was happening, like logically now that I know what was happening, is that by breathing really deeply and then allowing my mouth to loosen with that, with that horse really loose mouth, it was actually loosening everything down there.
Yeah.
And that was actually the secret, the little magic trick. But it felt so good and it was working so effectively that I did it through the whole labor, pretty much. Apart from a couple of times where, you know, I'd had a bit of a shower, but we can get to that.
Yeah.
So, my mum, being a midwife as well, spoke to them. They already had my notes. They were expecting me. They had my birth plan from the midwife. And, they said to my mum, because you're a midwife and we know her plan, you can actually just go into the room and close all the curtains and just have that as your cave and we won't disturb you. Let me know if you need any help. Mm. So it all began around 5 a.m. and then we were basically in there kind of for the day.
Wow.
It was a 12-hour birth, 12-hour labor and everything from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Yeah. Right.
So that was a pretty average, labor.
Mm.
Yeah.
So tell us about those 12 hours. You settled in the room. What did you do? Were you active? Were you on the bed?
So I was moving around quite a lot. I didn't really stay still at all. I just couldn't sit down. And I was really in my own realm. I was really focused on what felt the best was the horse breath, as I mentioned, but also moving my hips around felt really, really good. I remember just doing that so much. Sometimes I was just doing it on the spot and other times I was getting down onto all fours and just feeling the weight and the movement on my hips just in circles, lots of spirals, felt really good. I also had a shower. There was a beautiful birth suite with a shower there. And I remember singing quite a lot. I had this song that I would sing on my guitar and I would sing that a lot to the baby. And so I sang that song quite a number of times to myself when I was in labor in the shower and just kind of felt that was just like my solo time, even though there was people in the room. I just needed to escape on my own with the water. So that's what I did. Yeah, I had a nice long, warm shower singing, making different sounds and just like crying and feeling like beautiful emotions.
Allowing it all to come through.
Yeah, So I was just kind of surrendered to however long it was going to take. I wasn't really in a state of concern or fear or like angst or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when did it shift? Do you remember having that kind of transition time where a lot of women feel anxiety or fear, a rush of adrenaline? Did you have any signs of transition happening to you?
Yeah, it's a little bit hard to remember the transition, but I do remember that I didn't feel fear, but I just felt like maybe a bit of adrenaline or something, like something stronger was surging in me, like maybe a king size wave, like king tide instead of just the lapping.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, okay, there's something coming and it's big. And I remember feeling like maybe a little bit of fear, but more so like a bit of adrenaline. And I sensed also that maybe there was something a little bit wrong. And the doctor came in and wanted to just double check everything because it had gone past this time period. So they were like, okay, let's check, you know. And at that point, they needed to make sure, like, to check. I think they did like an examination, or they were going to do an examination, but then they realized they couldn't because it had been too much time. So apparently there was some risk of infection because of that time. So they'd kind of spoken to my mum on the sidelines, and then I sensed something, but she didn't actually tell me what it was. So then that clouded things, and she was saying, okay, you need to get the baby out. And they realized that my temperature was going up, and they monitored the baby, and they said that her heart rate was going down, right, you know, like it was kind of, think there was a little bit of stuff going on, but it wasn't clearly articulated to me. But in retrospect, that was going on. And so mum said, you need to actually, like, I could kind of feel everything starting to come. And then I wasn't quite ready to push, but then there was like this little bit of pressure to get the baby out. That's kind of what the conversation was.
Right.
So that felt really foreign to kind of what my experience had been. And suddenly things felt a little bit different, because there was then this pressure again that I felt the clock. And I'd been working so well and feeling this beautiful dance, and then I felt like a bit more of a pressure.
Yeah.
So I started to then push, and I didn't quite feel ready. And then my mum was helping me and encouraging me and giving me some guidance as to how to push. And I feel like what my ideal was when I was envisioning this part of the process was that I would use breath and just kind of not even push, but just kind of allow my breath to take over. And that's what I imagined. But then I was kind of asked to do it in a particular way. So there's a little bit of like confusion, maybe. I wasn't angry, but there was a bit of confusion. And then my mum, because I've always been very close to her too, I kind of just then surrendered to her, to the way that she was speaking and guiding me to. And then she said, yes, you're doing it right. Yes. Like, I was starting to push from a different place then, and not from up above, but right down low or something like that. That makes sense. And then, Mirabai came, and I did get a bit of a tear. And I do believe that it's because I wasn't quite ready.
Yeah, right.
But then everything was fine.
Yeah.
You know, then her heart rate was fine, and my, everything was fine. My temperature was fine, and So I did have a bit of a tear, and then an hour later, the placenta came.
Beautiful.
It was about an hour
later. So you did that as a natural as well, the placenta?
Yeah, so I just, so the placenta just came, but because I did lose a little bit, I did lose quite a bit of blood. I did have to just kind of, didn't shower afterwards or anything like that. I just held the baby straight to me, and while they sutured, there's a woman that sutured me. So I kind of didn't really feel anything much, because I was just enraptured by gazing at my baby, having her to the breast. So that was actually like a little bit uncomfortable, but pretty pain-free, which I wasn't expecting. I was actually quite fearful of that happening when I would do my journaling, and I was really afraid of tearing.
Right.
But actually it wasn't near as kind of scary or anything or painful as I imagined it would be.
You're in that oxytocin-filled love bubble.
Absolutely,
all the amazing
hormones. And that had been building, because I didn't have any – you know, anything unnatural in my system that had been building for a long time.
Yeah.
So I was totally there in that bubble, and quite open and surrendered and powerful in that moment. Yeah, and I had Shane there, and my mum caught Mirabai as well.
Baby.
Yeah, so that was really special that she has that bond now. And then after the cord had finished pulsating for quite a long time, when we couldn't see any pulse, then Shane cut the cord, and we kept the placenta.
What did you do with it?
We ended up planting it. We had a beautiful naming ceremony. where all of our friends came I sang and my mum read beautiful poetry and different friends, and then we all sang a welcoming song to Mirabai and had a beautiful like Indigenous ceremony as well with the elders in the community.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it felt really special.
So how long after that, the birth was that?
I think it was about 3 months or 4 months. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Maybe longer, but I think it's about 4 months.
That's 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
Oh, gorgeous.
Mm.
Is there anything from that birth that you want to share more about before we continue on to your next?
I think if I was going to share anything, I feel that the emphasis for me, the treasure perhaps, would be that pivotal moment where I surrendered and I just just softened into trust because it was completely, completely different to what I had in my mind and what I really thought that I wanted. But in actual fact, all of the staff there were very angelic. They were really lovely, and I actually had a very beautiful and quite empowering experience, even though I was in the hospital, which I was quite scared of, the cascade of intervention and all of that. I was quite frightened of that. So, yeah, I realized that was amazing, that was my key to kind of walking over that threshold. My key was actually surrender and trust.
Beautiful pearl of wisdom to give to both first-time mamas and any mama pregnant right now.
And also to stay firm in my birth plan and my empowerment too, because, you know, I could have been just induced. And I think in that moment when that doctor just said, okay, let's do it, I think if I had just given in that moment, it would have been a very different experience, and I may have had some kind of regret about just not trusting myself. But yeah, so I feel that was also a pivotal point, a critical juncture where I chose to be empowered in what I felt was really right for me.
Do you want a natural birth, mama? Then the natural birth course might be for you. Do you see birth as a rite of passage and an important and transformational event that you'd like to feel fully empowered in meeting? Are you, like many other women, realizing that it is time to take back your power as a birthing woman in the birth space and birth your baby your way? Would you like to feel calm and confident as you birth your baby with all the tools you need in order to meet the labor sensations naturally and be ready, body, mind, and soul? Do you deeply down know that your body was made to birth your baby and that you have all the inherent power and inner wisdom to do so? Are you looking for holistic midwifery wisdom and guidance to assist you and give you all the evidence-based information you need in order to feel fully sovereign in your decision-making around your pregnancy and upcoming birth? Then the Natural Birth Course is for you. Find out more at thenaturalbirthcourse.com.
Beautiful. Oh, now I can't wait to hear about your second natural birth.
Thank you.
Tell us about your little girl, Amber.
The second time round, I had a similar experience where, I was doing lots of beach walks, and this time round I was focusing even more on singing. I had experienced in the first birth how sound, I was singing a lot and making lots of sound and using breath in Mirabai's birth. And so I used singing a lot when I was pregnant with Amber to ground me and to empower me and to tune into myself, because I also had another child and I really needed a tool. So I was using singing a lot. And so I was walking and humming, and I had this practice of doing the deepest possible sound that I could, having my feet on the ground in nature. And that would just drop me in to myself and the baby and ground me. So I was doing that a lot leading up to her birth. And I remember a couple of days before she was born, I was dancing in the kitchen and I was kind of pretending that I was dancing with her. I was holding my tummy and listening to the music and singing a harmony to the music and kind of dancing with her. And I had a special practice with her where I'd play my guitar and whatever would come out would be like this special song to her, like serenading her. So we had this where I was like singing my gratitude to our new bond and that she was coming. And what happened first, which was the biggest thing, was I had a huge, my waters broke before anything really. So that was massive. Yeah. And I had to, for actually a whole night and the whole next day, I had towels. Like I literally had like a towel nappy.
Wow.
Like there was, for some reason, there was so much fluid and I was almost a bit irritated by it. I wanted to be really romantic and amazing about, oh, it's all happening. But I was like, oh my God, what? How can so much be flowing out? Like it was just all over the house and I wasn't really prepared for that. Wow. It was just, I had to put a liner on my bed and like everywhere I went, there were these pools of like, so that was interesting. And then once again, I was, well, this time had gone by and I wasn't in labor yet and my waters had broken. So once again, that was my body's way. Mm. And again, I was told that I was going to need to be induced.
Mm.
And so then, I was, just again, just like really, really not sure what was going on. And I decided, to go and get a checkup. So I went to, it was time for my checkup and I went to the birth suite in Byron Bay and they just gave me a little checkup and they said, no, you're not, definitely not in labor.
So you were fully closed. There was no opening of your cervix.
No, nothing.
And you were at this point, how many hours post breaking your waters?
I think I was like 24 hours or maybe longer. I can't quite remember the amount of hours, but I definitely wasn't in labor when I went for my checkup at all.
Yeah.
So then she said, okay, so you may need to go to Tweed Heads and be induced. And I was like, I've got deja vu. But she said, what I would recommend is that you go for a walk up to the lighthouse in Byron Bay. And it's a very, for those that aren't familiar with the lighthouse, it's quite a lot of steps. And it's quite a walk when you've got a very, very, very heavy tummy.
It's a good induction.
Yeah. So she was thinking that could be a really important way to just get things moving and then you won't have to get induced.
Yeah.
And I just did not get a good feeling about that idea. And then she said, oh, how about you go over the road to the farm? Because there's like a cafe, lots of sunflowers, pigs. Maybe you can have a little walk around. And still, there was something within me that was a big no. And I said, okay, well, no, I'm not going to go to the farm, but I am going to go for a walk and I might just walk around the hospital grounds and, you know, just have a little walk around.
And at this time, there was no contractions. There was nothing going on.
But she was just saying, I think maybe having a little walk would be a good idea.
Yeah.
And because we were already in Byron, I thought, okay. So I said to my mum and Shane, would you like to just like have a little walk around? So they kind of followed me and I was feeling a little bit floaty. But I wasn't like definitely not in labor.
Mm.
And the fact that they'd told me that I should go to the lighthouse meant that they didn't think so either. So I went for a walk and I said, I'm just going to, because I've got this real affinity with trees, especially fig trees. Mm. They seem to be something very special. I planted Mirabai's placenta under a fig and amongst a grove of fig trees in Mullum. And so I had this thing with fig trees. And so I saw this huge grandmother big fig tree and I went over to the tree and I just placed my hands on the trunk and my tummy against the trunk and just closed my eyes and felt like a total hippie. But it was okay. I was just in that mode. I was starting to move into these realms, obviously. And then I got this massive rush and I just got this tingling. It felt like I was somehow flooded by this ray of light. But I actually felt it tingle around my crown and then go right down my third eye, right down to my throat. And then I felt myself, my yoni, tingling.
Wow.
And it was like a bolt of something when I touched this tree. And I just was like, ooh. And then I felt like something was widening and opening and enlarging. And I felt myself shifting and changing and morphing, and it was actually quite a spiritual experience. And I said to my mom and Shane, I think we need to go back. I think we need to go back to the midwives. And they're like, oh, and I've got goosebumps talking about it because it was a very powerful moment where it was like, I'm definitely in labor right now. And so we started to wander and I started to walk the opposite direction because I was just not with it at all. And they're like, Gemma, this way. So we walked really slowly back and then the midwife said, I thought either you might be coming back tomorrow, but I've also prepared this space because I thought there could be a chance that you might come back to give birth because I could feel like something was shifting and I was like, okay. So we walked into there and that was an interesting confirmation that she was tuning in as well.
Yeah.
And we walked in and I said, I've got to go to the bathroom. So I went to the toilet and then suddenly I felt an even huger rush take over me. And she'd looked at the time prior and it was something like 2 o'clock or 2:30 or something. And I gave birth in 45 minutes.
Wow.
So the whole period from when I left the checkup to the end of my birth for when I gave birth was an hour.
Yeah.
So I took 15 minutes on that walk there and back. And that's why it was so quick. And so it was just, as you can imagine, to give birth in that space of time, I hardly had any, like there was no set stages. Yeah. Like it was merged. Yeah. It was so intense. And I went through a series of really strong and quite frightening emotions, like taking over me. And the way that I've written poems about it to try and process it, because it was a bit of a shock.
Mm.
And the way that what I remember writing about is that I felt like I was struck and I was holding a bolt of lightning.
Wow.
So that was a kind of energy. Instead of it being drawn out over 12 hours, it was condensed. So it was like another analogy I remember thinking was that it was like I was being pounded on the shore by king tide waves without being able to come up for a breath because I had no space in between. Like often you get a rush or a contraction and then there's like this kind of this silent space where you can breathe and then you get another big one and then you can breathe. Then you get another big one. But with mine, I could hardly take a breath. I actually had to be told, like my mom had to say, please take a breath.
Yeah.
Please take a breath because I literally was just getting pounded and pounded.
Yeah. Probably in a bit of a shock. That all of a sudden going from nothing to 100.
Yes.
You know.
It was, and there was also, physiologically also there was no buffering because I've read in the past too that the buffering of all the hormones can sometimes come in after about an hour of being in active labor. And yet it was under an hour where it all took place. So there was, it felt like it was like bare bones and feelings, physical. It was very physical and just happening to me.
Yeah.
And then what happened is after a while, and Shane was trying to kind of be there for me, but he was also in a bit of, his process was that he was having a bit of an adrenaline rush because he was in a bit of a protective mode because everything was happening and he was just starting to fill the pool. And then they said, oh, there's going to be no time for that. And he kind of was just an onlooker. He wasn't, there was hardly any room in this tiny cramped bathroom.
Yes.
And I was holding onto the, you know, the disabled steel thing that you find, the bar. I was leaning forward, holding onto this bar. That was the only position I could be in. And my mum said, oh, would you like a bit of water? And I almost vomited, just that extra stimulation of water on me. I thought I was going to give birth in like the birth pool. And just even one drop of water was so stimulating because of what I was going through that I almost threw up. And yeah, I had my mum was there and then another student midwife, which was like, she was like a balm of healing for me. She was just looking at me and with her hands open, I remember looking at her in this receptive, just holding space. She was not saying anything. She was just like looking at me with these loving eyes. It was so beautiful. And yeah, and my mum was just there, but I remember going a couple of times, mommy, mommy, like I was actually feeling like I was going to die.
Yeah.
Because, and it was the little girl within me, and I've often felt a little bit of shame around those words, like mommy, because I wanted to be really empowered. And I was, but I literally was holding so much intensity.
Oh, yeah.
That I was in I was kind of going through a state of shock. And then the beautiful thing that happened was that suddenly, I mean, this wasn't even a long time after, but suddenly I felt this silence and something stopped. And it was like the eye of the storm.
Wow.
I just suddenly came into this stillness and people were looking at me because it had been so intense. And they said, Shane, come. And suddenly they said, oh, no, they didn't tell me to. I just naturally did it. I put my hands straight to my yoni. And I felt this, like, again, just like the tree, this boom, 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 boom. I felt myself get quite kind of almost like excited, like sexually. It was just this really, like, everything was flooding with warmth and beauty. And suddenly there was this silent moment and I felt like my nipples became erect.
Wow.
And my hair was on end.
Wow.
And I started to sing. So I just started to make any sound and there was this beautiful, gentle singing that was just pouring from my lips.
Wow.
And I just have a flood of goosebumps thinking about it because it was so powerful and beautiful. And then my mum said, the baby's coming. Your baby's coming. Shane, you might need to come here and watch this.
Wow.
Baby's coming. And so I actually had my hand around Amber's head and then my mum had her hands under mine.
Oh.
So it was like this three-generational
beautiful, kind
of powerful moment. And then it was very gentle. So her arrival was into total gentleness and awe and softness. And it was just this really stark contrast. And then within, it was only about three pushes and she came out with a lot of ease and beauty and like, so that it was this funny double-edged sword kind of experience, but there was a lot of power.
So did you and your mom kind of catch her together?
Yeah, so I kind of caught her and then mom kind of did this interesting maneuver and grabbed her and then...
Because you were standing by this stage?
I was standing the whole time.
Yeah.
I was kind of bent over and so I didn't really... I only had a tiny little graze because of my position, which I was really happy about, and the way that I birth was much more empowering than the first time. So a little tiny bit of my last hair kind of opened and grazed a little bit, but it was nothing. It was really nothing to worry about. And,
And by this stage,
so this
what happens?
Time
you're
I was sitting on the
baby.
Toilet.
Yeah.
They put a nice cloth over the toilet, but I was sitting on the toilet.
Yeah.
And I was holding her straight to my breast, and Shane was there holding me, and I could feel Shane's heart pumping too. It was just such a huge, and I was like, oh, Gemma, you're so powerful. Oh, and I was holding her to my breast and looking at her, and I've got a beautiful photo of that moment. And we're just kind of a bit stunned, but like, whoa, what just happened? Because it was so fast. And then I kind of eventually then went onto the bed and had a little lay down and passed the baby to Shane, and we had a bit of a bonding moment. But then there was this thing with the clock again about, okay, we need to look at the clock. And I didn't really want any interventions for the placenta. And I felt that there was something about, like, my body wanted to hold on to something. Like, it had happened so fast.
Yeah, your body was probably stunned.
My body was stunned. I wasn't expecting, I didn't really even have anything with me. I'd gone for a checkup, then I'd had the baby that afternoon, and my body was still trying to figure it out, and my emotions, my heart, everything, my mind was trying to catch up. So I didn't feel quite ready. And then eventually it had just got to an hour. So the whole time that the birth had happened, the placenta wasn't coming. Mm. And so the midwife said that she needed to take the placenta out.
Mm.
So she took it out.
So with so, that means you got an injection into your leg with synthetic oxytocin.
Yeah.
And then they did the controlled cord traction where they pulled the placenta out.
Pulled it out. Mm. And that was probably, that was quite hard for me to go through, because, like, I was just trying to catch up with myself.
Yeah.
And it felt like quite a yank from my body that I wasn't expecting. I didn't know that that's what would happen if it got past an hour. It was only just on an hour.
Mm.
So I was feeling like a bit disappointed. I remember feeling disappointment about that. But I was trying to just let it go. And then I actually asked if there was somebody else that could possibly do the suturing, because I was just a little bit, because I felt that I couldn't handle that from that person again.
Yeah.
Because I'd just gone through something and it was quite rough. It felt rough to me because I was feeling very vulnerable.
Yes. Gosh, and, so open and vulnerable.
And
after
I asked if there was somebody else that could do that. Yeah. But again, like, if I was to share a treasure or a pearl of wisdom from that experience, you know, it is, again, probably surrendering to what is, and letting go. You can have a plan, but also there needs to be some flexibility of the mind because you just never can tell what's going to happen. And I wouldn't want that for anyone else. Like, that it was beautiful in many regards, but it was very, very, very fast.
Yeah.
But it was all natural and pretty much, and it felt really, powerful that I could get through that. But I did go through quite a post-traumatic stress as well afterwards, which I was also very taken by surprise because of the shock of that experience that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
So I had to write my birth story quite a number of times and sing and spend a little bit of time on my own, and I took herbs and arnica for shock and whatever homeopaths and bushflower essences that were supportive.
And through your journeying with this afterwards, what did you ever come to a place where you found what the teaching was for you with this really fast, very powerful, totally connected? Because it sounded like it was such an initiation.
It was a huge initiation. It was almost like when I gave birth to Mirabai, that was an initiation where I was letting go of the maiden.
Mm.
And, you know, it was beautiful. It was, I used all the tools and I had time and space and, you know, but the second birth with Amber, it felt like it was initiation into my full powered, zero tolerance for bullshit, kind of like more like wild womanhood.
Mm.
Like it was kind of more edgy, you could say, and like I really had to dig deep for who I was. And it was a huge initiation into more fierceness and more power.
Well, you needed to grab onto that. I had to.
And so what happened, I feel, is that it was activated, this kind of power. And like it's hard to describe because it's quite abstract, but I would say power, wildness, and just like tuning into like my more ancient ancestral beginnings of like womanhood. Mm. And I was like fascinated after that birth with like, you know, all sorts of stories about where I'm from. And I just, you know, really delved into a different aspect of the fierceness of womanhood.
Right.
And the wildness and the rawness of that initiation, because it really did activate. I almost felt like I died. So it kind of pushed me and stretched me in more ways than one, but like really stretched me into this like powerful time.
And powerful, I feel like, woman.
Yeah, I feel like I'm proud that I was able to do that and hold that intensity. And I have a belief that nothing that we're given, we can't, you know, work with. Like we all have the capacity for whatever we're given to endure. Really believe that. So I realize that I do have that capacity to hold that intensity.
That light bulb in that your whole being.
Bolt of lightning and that, yeah. So I was proud of myself for going through that and coming out the other end. And yeah, now I've got a 2 and a 5-year-old and everything's amazing. And they're both, and Amber came exactly on this huge full moon. It was a super moon. And she came on the hour of the super moon.
You're kidding.
When we looked at it, it was this big orange. Like I'd already decided to call it Amber, and it's this big orange Amber. Like,
wow.
And the midwife is like, Gemma, look at that. So it was just like, wow. So, yeah. It was
what really an auspicious super birth story. Just so powerful. And
so it was, powerful is the word.
Yeah.
And to not be afraid of that power, you know, and to really just hold it in both hands.
Well, I guess the first birth experience you had kind of, you know, the gem of wisdom there was the surrender, right? And so you already had embodied that. And
angelic support.
Yeah. And so you already had embodied that from the first birth. So you already had that in place for your second.
Yeah.
So you could really surrender to that enormous power that opened you in less than an hour to birth your baby.
Yeah. And all naturally as well. Like there was no pain relief. There was just, it was just blood and bone. And like it was just really strong. But I also feel like, you know, I'm so proud of myself as well. At least, like, even though it was hard and shocking, I have this strength that I didn't hand over my power to someone else. Like, I've got this strength that I didn't ask for relief, that I just kind of went with it. And then it got to that point where it then changed and shifted. And it was like this period of grace. And so Amber's name is Amber Grace. Because she told me, actually, in a beautiful birth circle support group that I was with, there was an amazing drumming circle where we went in and we met our baby, and she said, I am Grace. And whether you call me Grace or not, but I'm really strong and I'm really powerful, and you don't need to worry about me. I'm strong, I'm powerful, but I'm Grace. Wow. And the birth completely was that.
Yeah.
It was strong, it was powerful, but it was also graceful. That I was at there, I was there having a checkup. So I was in the perfect place to have a birth that quick.
Yes.
And then a beautiful entry into the world as well.
Amazing.
So yeah.
Oh,
Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for sharing your pearls of wisdom and those very beautiful and different birth stories. Is there anything that you wish to share more of in terms of, if you had a first-time mama here right now sitting in front of you and she's about to have her baby, what would you say to her as advice for how she can optimize her chances of having a natural and empowering birth experience?
I would say to that, first of all, you've got this. First of all, your body knows how to birth. You're made to birth. So to trust in that and to also dance with your baby, to have a beautiful connection, to focus on your connection as you're in that time, as your kind of stronghold. And to again, trust and surrender. And in that knowing, you know, to tap into your knowing of who you really are and that it's going to be okay. Whatever happens, that kind of having that flexibility of mind. But really, we need to gather tools. So gathering tools of breath work, using sound, using horse breath, singing it up, you know, really like empowering ourselves by whatever tools really relate to us, or yoga, and just having trust in our body's way, but also flexibility of mind. And to know that whatever happens, you will heal in time. Even if it's something that's extremely traumatic, and it's not just going from maiden to mother.
Which is a huge thing,
but it, you know, even if it's a combination of things and something that's your worst possible nightmare that you could imagine, you will heal, and there is so much support there for you to birth naturally.
And that there's wisdom in what unfolds if you look at that in that way. To say, you know, you had this really strong, really powerful second birth that really put you into shock on all levels. But you've journaled and worked with it to find the wisdom in it. And to, as you just expressed, the wisdom is amazing, is, you know, the initiation, what you actually came away from with that experience. And so we can take all of our experiences in life, whether we think they're positive or negative, and we can find wisdom within and through that find grace and healing.
And certain births, certain parts of the birth seem to activate those places within us that we don't even know are possible. Like, I didn't know how fierce I could be. These certain things were turned on and opened that I hadn't actually felt before in my life, and now they're part of me, they're embodied. So there's different shapes and kind of aspects that come out, and it's exciting. It's part of becoming a woman. So these initiations of birth can be really empowering.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Gemma, for sharing this birth stories with me and all of us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Anna.
Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please share it. Grade it on iTunes and leave a comment. If you want to connect on social media, you can find me on Facebook as The Spiritual Midwife or on Instagram as the_spiritual_midwife. Thank you for listening.